You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. We are here on a Monday after week three, which was the best week of football thus far, without question, here in 2017. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. It was a fun week that started on Thursday night and continued through. Some really good games, some great finishes. That game in Philadelphia with a 61-yard field goal.
That was not a fantastic finish, man. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. You know, just like a lot of unpredictability, too. Who thought that that Blake Bortles and Case Keenum would combine for 7 touchdown passes and DeMarco Murray with the hamstring would rip off a 75-yard run and Jordan Howard would look as good as he did?
Absolutely. Corey Parson, you're the fantasy executive. How are you doing?
I am doing well. So, good Sunday yesterday. Very good Sunday in the NFL. So, it was good to see some very good, exciting football games, a compelling storyline. So, all those road teams that were favored, tough situations for them yesterday. His home teams kind of fought back. So, you know, it's a week-to-week thing in the NFL. You know, for about a quarter, it looked like the New York Giants were going to be a thing this year.
Yeah, it did.
Then a 61-yard field goal in the day season. That was good.
Everyone finds that funny.
Yeah, but
your team lost.
The Jets have more wins than the Giants. Yeah. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
But for Corey, it's like, you know, who do you pull for when Philadelphia is playing the Giants?
He plays for Philadelphia.
Why?
I don't like the New York
Giants.
He hates
the Giants. What are you talking about?
Cowboy fans don't like the Eagles either.
They could care less about the Eagles. The Eagles are not a thing for the Cowboys. It makes no difference to them. Let's get back to the Titans and the Seahawks, guys. As Scott just mentioned here at the top of the hour, DeMarco Murray, who had a hamstring injury, had his best game, ran for 115 yards. A lot of it came on that 75-yard run. But he looked very, very good. Without Corey Davis in there to steal anything, Rashard Matthews looked awesome. 6 for 87 and a touchdown, including a 55-yarder. 10 targets on the day for Rashard Matthews, by far more targets than anybody else for Tennessee. Eric Decker had 4 for 49. Delaney Walker, 4 for 31.
Yeah, Rashard Matthews entering yesterday's game was getting like 22% of the target share. So, as you mentioned, without Corey Davis, it just opened things up. And shout out to Juno Smith. I just wanted to say the name.
Sure.
He's had 3 catches, 2 touchdowns in back-to-back weeks.
This game was 9-7 at halftime, and then everything just opened up. The Seattle defense was gassed. They were, you know, the Titans were breaking off big plays yesterday.
Richard Sherman was a dick yesterday.
Yeah, I was like, will you calm down? You're going to get thrown out.
He should have been thrown
out. I was incredibly stunned he didn't get thrown out.
He should have been. He should have been on a hit to Mariota.
He's got to keep his head on better than that.
Russell Wilson throws for 4. We'll talk more about Seattle and get into the Giants and Eagles on the other side. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
So, in the second half, as Scott mentioned, the points all started to pile up for Seattle. And that's because they just stopped trying to run the football. They just said, screw this. This is not going to work. We're not bothering with this. It resulted in Russell Wilson having 4 touchdowns, 373 yards passing, not a single interception. When they were running the ball, it was Chris Carson who had 11 carries for 34 yards. When they went in the second half to pass the ball, it was C.J. Procise. Procise had a long 46-yard reception, finished with 3 for 65. But I told you guys last week, I just had this feeling about Doug Baldwin this week. I had no evidence whatsoever, but it felt like a Dougie game was coming. 10 catches for 105 yards, touchdown later. It did. 15 targets for Doug Baldwin, who left this game late. What was the latest on Doug Baldwin?
Yeah, that it was a groin injury. You know, he was on the sidelines. You know, this was Wilson's career best game in terms of passing yardage and attempts.
Yep, and they lost.
And, you know, with Baldwin, you know, the way they set it up was, you know, a lot of quick hits, catch and run after the catch. And this was a good matchup for him against the Tennessee secondary. Paul Richardson scored for the second week in a row. You know, but Tyler Lockett is not rosterable. I keep saying it. Jimmy Graham looked like his confidence was shaken very early because, you know, the book on him was starting to, like, give him a big hit, he'll drop the ball, and he had 2 early drops. But he turned it around late in the game. You know, the offensive line, the game was close the whole way.
It was close, but they kind of had the lead. They got close for a point, but I mean Tennessee kind of really had.
Yeah, Tennessee started pulling away. Seattle came back. They had to do the onside kick kind of thing, but the offensive line played better. You know, it was more like a thing in the second half of, like, you know, get the ball quickly out of his hands and go downfield. They finally started hitting big plays because they were playing catch up.
Jimmy Graham did have 7 for 72, which. We'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll take it, but a lot of it was in garbage time. Yes. It wasn't really the kind of production you want to see.
Yep.
When Seattle offense is clicking right, he's not going to have those type of games. It's just not. I hate to say it because I have him everywhere. Now, if Seattle continues to stink on offense like this and they're in this negative game script, you'll see that work for Jimmy Graham. But Doug Baldwin got hurt yesterday, too. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Things are trending in the wrong direction for Graham. I would sell after this game right here to a less savvy player.
I agree with that.
You watch Graham and just, you know, it doesn't look like he's playing with confidence. Every time he takes a big hit, he drops the ball.
Russell Wilson in the 6-point passing leagues had 45 points.
It's a lot of points. It's a lot of points. Let's go to the Giants and the Eagles. You guys mentioned it before. Jake Elliott, 61-yarder to win it. A myriad of mistakes for the Giants causing them to lose it. We'll talk about, not those, we'll just talk about the fantasy perspective so I don't have a corollary. The Eagles, I was astounded by the idiocy of Doug Peterson because LeGarrette Blount was just running all over the Giants every time he touched the ball,
yep.
Dragging defenders on his back, 10 yards here, 10 yards there, and they just refused to consistently give him the ball. A lot of Wendell Smallwood, a lot of Chris Clement. Give the ball to LeGarrette Blount, man!
Yeah, it makes sense because, you know, the Giants were looking better in the passing game, and you want to control time of possession if you can. Give yourself some more offensive balance because in the passing game, outside of Zach Ertz, nobody's dependable.
I'll tell you, as a Giant fan, whenever I saw LeGarrette Blount out of the game, I was thrilled because he was that good yesterday. Darren Sproles gets hurt. He hurt his wrist, and you watch the game. You saw it get dislocated, so hopefully it's not serious. But even still, they didn't go to more Blount. It was a lot of Wendell Smallwood, who dominated snaps, I'm sure, yesterday. We'll play that game a little bit later on in the week. But it's not going to be anything to rely on. Like, LeGarrette Blount is the running back I'd want to own here, but very frustrating.
I mean, yep. Zach Ertz is the man.
Zach Ertz is the man.
Really is.
Yeah, Wendell Smallwood, you know, got his 71 yards, I think, on 12 carries something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't rely at all on Wendell Smallwood. I don't even know if I would pick him up.
You got to pick him up. Got to pick him up.
Yeah, I would pick him up.
I don't want to start him. You got to pick him up.
Yeah, you have to pick him up.
I would say in a lot of the mainstream leagues that our listeners listen to, it's like there might be something better out there.
I don't know, man.
Especially in a 10-team league, there ain't no way I'm picking
him
up.
Well, in a 10-team league, you don't pick him up in a 10-team league.
I agree with that.
You shouldn't be playing in a 10-team league.
You know what, though? If I have to start Wendell Smallwood, even if it's on a bye week or an injury,
PPR,
it's almost like I'm saying to myself, oh, boy, can I make a trade? You know, I'm really not comfortable with
PPR, it's potentially okay, especially if Sproles is out. Smallwood's going to have a lot of snaps. But it's definitely not doing it. Zach Ertz, as everybody has mentioned, is the guy to own in Philadelphia. A lot of people had that right this season.
EY had that right. EY was very high.
He was. 8 for 55 and a touchdown. He dropped the first touchdown. They went same exact play, scored the second touchdown. Makes you feel real good as a fan of the other team. Alshon Jeffrey, 4 for 56. His big play, of course, was at the end, 19-yard reception, which he got out of bounds with 1 second left, setting up the 61-yard field goal from the rookie, Jake Elliott.
That was an excellent
play design.
play design. He got out of bounds, and then that was the greatest kick in NFL history.
Jake Elliott, just for reference, hit a 61-yarder to win the game for the Eagles. He was cut by the Bengals, mm-hmm. who missed a 48-yarder.
There you go.
There you go. Nice job. Nice job.
God's
right
plan.
The greatest kick in NFL history.
Where's the gospel music?
Yeah, wait, put the gospel music yeah. back on. That just so
praise
happened.
Jake Elliott.
For the Giants, they went scoreless in the first three quarters. It really looked like the same terrible offense we had seen all year long and most of last year. And then the fourth quarter,
Odell happened.
I mean, and that's the truth. They finally just, Eli was getting the ball out. Literally, I read the stat. A second and a half, he had the ball in his hands. I mean, he was like by far the fastest quarterback to get it out yesterday. And because of that, he wasn't sacked a single time. And, you know, it worked. This quick hit offense, it really did work. Getting the ball to Brandon Marshall, getting the ball to Sterling Shepard and Odell. And finally, in the fourth quarter, they started racking up some points. Defense wasn't able to hold on to the lead. Odell Beckham finished with 9 for 79, 2 touchdowns, and he pissed on Philly.
That's why I kept drafting him that final week. Even though we knew he was going to miss a game, possibly maybe two, it's just the talent is too good. It's like last year, Le'Veon Bell missed those three games. Look what he did. You know, even when Zeke was going to miss games, people still wanted to take him in the second round. The uber talents, you just have to go after.
Yeah, and it opens things up for Sterling Shepard. It was a good matchup against a depleted secondary, too.
I thought it was Shepard.
What do you guys, I got to ask you guys, what did you think of Odell peeing on Philly?
That was just asinine.
I thought it was hilarious.
I mean, it's Philadelphia.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying?
I agree.
A Philadelphia fans are going to say, oh, that's so classless. No, you're a Philadelphia sports fan.
Agreed.
You're classless. You like stuff like that. I've seen you in action. Don't act like you're all disturbed by Odell.
Here's my problem with it. Odell on this team needs to be the leader and stuff yes. like that. So yes. That's the problem.
Odell's like, I didn't think there's anything wrong with that.
Some of these celebrations are ridiculous. Just like I remember in the Super Bowl when Doug Baldwin scored a touchdown on me, like he was taking a dump and wiping his butt. You know, it's just like in that and Beckham, it's just like, you're better than that.
Shepard had the big 77-yard touchdown, as you guys said. Interesting to note, both Shepard, Beckham, and Marshall, all of them had double-digit receptions yesterday. That was a target, excuse me, yesterday. Brandon Marshall really came alive, 8 for 66.
Well, that's what I was saying. You can't cut him until you see him with a fully healthy Odell. NFFC Hall of Famer Christopher Caro made the point on Friday night. You don't cut him. You put him on your bench. You don't want to see somebody else reap the benefits. I'm not saying Brandon Marshall. I was never on Brandon Marshall, but you know, you just can't be cutting guys, especially guys that you invested fifth and sixth round picks on.
I had to let him go, man. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it. And if I'd have had him in my roster, I'd have played him yesterday and I'd have sat Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. I don't think it matters where you draft guys after three weeks.
Now, don't get me wrong. Next week it could be different. I could play Shepard and Marshall go off. But I just didn't like what I saw. And I think that Giants offense is just it looks better with a healthy Odell out there, but that was the Eagles secondary. That's one of the worst secondaries in the league.
But you know, I just think that's why you have a bench. That's my view on it.
Yeah. It's crazy. Evan Engram had 5 for 45. I still think he's a thing. He's good. He's a good player.
If that's a bad game and he got you 9 points, you know, it says something about how he's going to be involved.
Yeah, he's a good player. I'm in on that.
I wouldn't be shocked if he outproduces Marshall going forward.
I would be shocked either. For the rushing attack, again, this is from a Giants fan perspective, but Paul Perkins sucks.
He does.
We knew that.
But I understand that, but like, it's not just the brutal offensive line. Like, Orleans Darko looks just 1,000 times better than Paul Perkins does. Like, 1,000 times better. Yep. And Darko did leave this game with a bit of a back injury. That's why Perkins was in there at the end.
Maybe when he got stuffed on the goal line.
That was bad.
Yeah.
I heard some analysis yesterday on a different station saying that you can cut Paul Perkins. Like, thank you. That's just one
very, thing. Very helpful, right?
Thank you.
Like I said.
Maybe you shouldn't have drafted Paul Perkins.
Orleans Darko looked really good, and if he's healthy, I think he's – I said these last week. I think he's someone was worth picking up, just having. The Giants don't run the ball at all, but whatever. Eli on the day threw 2 bad interceptions. To 3 touchdowns for 366 yards passing, though. So it's you know.
And Shane Vereen was quiet. That's the thing with Vereen. You know, they love to have these very quiet weeks.
Yeah, those PPR running backs in general, it seems like, except for Chris Thompson, you know what I mean? They're going to have their weeks with it up and down where they're not really involved. We saw 2 slow weeks from Duke Johnson, then Duke Johnson explodes. We saw 2 good weeks from Vereen, then Vereen disappears. You can't rely on those PPR running backs.
Yep.
But Tevin Coleman is the only one that you can really rely on.
Yeah, he's a little bit different, right? Yeah, he's also the backup.
Even James White was quiet yesterday.
Yeah, even James White.
Yep.
yesterday. Yeah. Yep.
Theoretic and the perfect matchup was quiet.
It's hard starting these running backs. You feel what I'm saying? It's very difficult having to rely on them.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back because there was one pass-catching running back that seemingly was extremely reliable over the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and he was the one that played last night, and that was Chris Thompson. We set up the station, and Corey and I said, listen, this dude had 6 touches last year. We cannot count on that. That was not a problem last night. We explained Chris Thompson. We get into Washington and Oakland on the other side. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
If there was one PPR running back that you could count on this weekend, it was Chris Thompson.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, Corey, you and I both were like, listen, this dude had 6 touches last week. I'm not buying into it because he could throw you a dud. Last night was not that dud.
No, last night was not that dud at all.
He was phenomenal here last night as Chris Thompson finishes with, in total, 14 touches, 188 yards and a touchdown.
He has 350 yards from scrimmage so far this season.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, you know, considering that the fact that for the most part, this guy's a part-time player. He doesn't touch the football that much. So what you see right here is he's too dynamic, right? So the analytical people and the smart people will tell you, you know what I'm saying? It's not enough going on for him to sustain this and to go ahead and sell him. This reminds me a lot of what we saw from Tyreek Hill last season. He is looking like this season's Tyreek Hill. I think you have to buy Chris Thompson. Listen, every game is not going to be like last night, but he's too dynamic of a playmaker. They know what they're doing. They know how to get him in space. They know how to use him. They know how to get him the right amount of touches. He's a very dangerous player, and I do not want to lose to him anymore.
And here's the thing about it, too, because Kirk Cousins can't rely on Terrell Pryor. Jamison Crowder started looking better, but he's not 100%. He can't rely on Ryan Grant. He can't rely on Jordan Reed. Vernon Davis had a better game, but, you know, right now, is that his best receiver?
I would pick up Vernon Davis, too. I would pick up Vernon Davis because Jordan Reed is going to be bothered by this thing all year. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins like to throw to the tight end. I would definitely pick up Vernon Davis.
Yeah, Davis,
especially
had a pretty
if
good
you're
game
a Jordan Reed owner. Yep. He always has a good game when Reed is out.
Yep.
Well, look, I'm a big fan of the pass catching running backs. And if he's going to get, you know, the 6 targets and stuff like that, if he's going to pull in 5 to 6 receptions a week, which he may have to with this offense going forward. If you look at, you know, Rob Kelly was out. P. Ryan really wasn't getting anything done. So, and this team is going to be a pass-first team. He's gotten the big play. He had, what, a 77-yard run in week 2.
Yep.
It looked great going down the sidelines last night. So, you know, if you have him, you're ecstatic.
P. Ryan had an opportunity last night. He bungled it. He did not look good.
Less than 3 yards a carry. Didn't he get hurt also?
Yeah.
19 carries, 49 yards. Mac Brown comes in 6 for 27. Looked a little bit better than Chris Thompson, although the game was probably put away.
No burst. Just like
one yard into the line
and a cloud of dust.
You know what was interesting watching this Washington offense? Because it was not the offense I think a lot of us expected. It was not the offense that we saw last year at all. It was a lot of runs, a lot of short passes to Chris Thompson or to Vernon Davis or to Jamison Crowder. There was nothing really deep outside of, you know, Josh Doctson's 52-yard touchdown, outside of the 20-yard touchdown or 30-yard touchdown or whatever to Vernon Davis. There was not much, you know, really breaking down the defense and going for the big play. It was kind of dink, dunk, and it led to Kirk Cousins throwing 365.
And that's the thing right there. What you saw last night is what you don't want to see. Because we thought we were able to identify Jordan Reed. We could identify Jamison Crowder. We could identify Terrell Pryor. Right now, the only piece in the offense that's identifiable is Kirk Cousins. At least that's the way it was last night. You don't want it to be like that going forward. I think Jordan Reed is somebody, if he gets healthy, that you'll see Kirk Cousins depend on. Other than that, he could be mixing this thing up. Where did Doxon come from? The boogeyman showed up.
I want to take it a step further. I think, yes, Kirk Cousins, you know what you're going to get. I think Chris Thompson's in that category, too.
I think so, too. Yeah, those two.
Hey, look, I touted Terrell Pryor after 3 weeks. Last night was the night where he had to step up. He even said during the week, the season starts Sunday night. It was a really good matchup for him. It did not come to fruition. So, yeah, I'm very nervous about Terrell Pryor.
That said,
way you drafted him, you're not cutting bait.
Yeah, it's
no, you can't cut him.
You bench him, but you don't cut him. Not yet.
Can you even bench him?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'll bench him.
I mean, it all depends on options you have.
Hey, listen, this
depends on your option, but I'd strongly consider it.
All right, listen, that side of the table. I mean, Terrell Pryor, you were at the point drafting.
I was big on Terrell.
Him as a wide receiver one.
Yes,
that was where you were. This side of the table, call them a bust potentially. Yeah, and
just be careful. It's 3 weeks.
I know. I'm kidding around. But yeah, Terrell Pryor, major concern at this point about his ability to really rebound here. This matchup was right, and it did not happen. But I will say this.
We talk about the opportunity. It was perfect. This is the kind of receiver they wanted in this offense.
And I will say this, though.
And he hasn't been it.
The game plan was not for him at all. It is the offense is not for him to do anything. He needs to just do little by little by little by little by little. And that's it. On the other side, Derek Carr was bad. 118 yards passing, just one touchdown, two interceptions. That's not enough. Marshall Lynch just had six carries for 18 yards. That was brutal. Bigfoot has four catches for 43 and a touchdown again. And
yeah, no, right?
And the wide receivers, man, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree.
Nothing.
One catch apiece, 6 yards apiece.
Washington's secondary is scary, is sneaky good. Not scary good, sneaky good. Washington is a sneaky good secondary. I don't believe in this Breland kid, but he's been playing well to start the season. We know what Josh Norman is. They got some pieces. They're physical. The back end of that defense is coming together real strong. The line was stout. Now, listen, Oakland was in a very tough spot, flying cross country for a Sunday night game.
Yep.
Very, you know, charged up weekend. So, you know, the D.C. football team on Sunday night, football night in America, I think that was a real tough spot for Oakland to come into. I don't think that you downgrade the Oakland people. If guys want to sell on Cooper and Crabtree, by all means, go ahead and gobble them up because they're going to continue to get it done. It just was not – it wasn't their night. They'll be fine.
It wasn't their night, but I don't think – expect them to look that bad as they did with Cooper and Crabtree catching one pass each. You know, this Washington secondary came in with a real chip on its shoulder last night. If you saw the post-game interview with Josh Norman, I don't know if you caught it, but he was like – oh, they said he would have dropped 200 yards on us. You know, he's like, you go away with that. You know, they said I wasn't cover one or cover two. I'm cover one. I'm cover two. I'm cover three. I'm cover four. Josh Norman was talking all kinds of trash to the Raiders after the game because he said, you know, the Raiders were coming and talking a lot of garbage, and they went out there like determined to shut them down. I don't think anybody expected to see that, but with Amari Cooper, you know. I think some people drafted him high are going to start worrying again.
Nah, I wouldn't worry.
No, but you have to have some concern. Look, I'm a big Amari Cooper guy. The first week, it looked awesome. They kept going to him. The targets, the red zone targets. The dude does have to start catching the damn
football. The drops are concerning.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Michael Crabtree left that game with a chest injury. It can't get understated. If he is out with a chest injury, and you know, chest to me means certain things. It can mean rib. It can mean a pec if things are terrible. Those are the main things I think of when I hear chest injury. Hopefully he's fine. If he's not, Jared Cook becomes even more of a thing, which is annoying. And remember, next week the Raiders face Denver. Like, that is not an easy spot for
the no fly zone. I would still stick with him. No, I'm still rolling him out there.
You're gonna have to. But not a good spot either.
Yeah. DraftKings tweeted out missing Amari Cooper last seen in week one.
Brutal. Brutal. Seth Roberts, by the way, also becomes a thing potentially if Michael Crabtree is
I hope
out.
Not.
I know you don't.
So, yeah, Seth Roberts he's really the guy that's capped Amari Cooper's value the last couple of years. Those handful of touchdowns he gets every year.
Now it's the drops that are really
There were a lot of funny tweets about Cooper yesterday. Just like, oh, he doesn't catch like 40% of his targets. And then there was another one like, We've secretly replaced Amari Cooper with Darius Heyward-Bey. Let's see if anybody can tell the difference.
Hey, I missed this earlier. I missed this last night when I was putting everything together. You asked about Darren Sproles' injury. He actually broke his arm.
Yeah, no.
He's probably going on IR.
He broke his arm, which would be more Wendell Smallwood. He broke his arm. Wendell Smallwood's going to be in there a lot. You're going to have to pick him up.
Yeah, and they were giving the ball to Sproles like a lot of pitch outs and sweeps and stuff like that. I'm like,
stupid.
Why are they doing that?
Because they're stupid.
Yeah. I don't think so. But does Pumphrey
He's done.
He's on IR. Oh, I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Mike Florio just tweeted this, by the way. Kind of like tying up some loose ends. It's our Mike Florio.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. He's a clown.
Jordan Howard led the Bears in rushing attempts, rushing yards, receptions, and receiving yards yesterday against Pittsburgh.
He was the whole offense yesterday.
Just ask Mike Florio, how did Matt Modica do yesterday in the Flex Cup?
You can tweet him at that.
Yeah. According to Uber Facts, Mike Florio got smashed by Matt Modica.
It's not very nice.
That isn't, but we'll take it. I needed a win yesterday.
You needed the win, and you got the win here yesterday. As I said, the schedule not very good here for Oakland. Guys, tonight is Monday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys,
America's team,
and the Arizona Cardinals. It's a big spot, and I want to kind of just take it team by team. Let me start with the Arizona Cardinals. You have Carson Palmer, who has not looked good after the first 2 weeks. I mean, he has looked old, he has looked washed up, he has looked dead and gone. J.J. Nelson's been fantastic. Larry Fitzgerald has been very, very bad and underwhelming and upsetting. And the running game has been non-existent. King, what do you expect of the Arizona Cardinals tonight?
I'm not expecting too much tonight. It's like, I think Dallas is going to come out, you know, really ticked off after losing to Denver last week. Dominate time of possession. Now, their secondary is very, very vulnerable. And that defense outside of Sean Lee has a lot of holes. But I don't know if Arizona has what it takes to expose it tonight. I think Fitzgerald can have a pretty good game. Nelson is dealing with the hamstring injury. They don't have a lot of weapons on offense to exploit them. So I think that defense is going to spend a lot of time on the field.
Yeah, the sad fact is J.J. Nelson being questionable. I mean, going back to the last five games of last season, I mean, the guy's been getting in the end zone. He should have almost had two touchdowns last week, was ruled out of bounds in the back of the end zone. Larry Fitzgerald has to have a good game tonight. I mean, he's got to do something, and Carson Palmer's got to keep him in. It's another road favorite.
I think it's all Ezekiel Elliott tonight.
There's no Orlando Scandrick tonight, right?
Yeah. No, I think Orlando Scandrick is a game-time decision.
Oh, he's a game-time decision.
Yeah,
there's not,
one of their other top corners, too.
If there's no Scandrick, there's no reason Larry Fitzgerald shouldn't have a big game tonight against
Well, no, there's a reason why.
Oh, really?
Carson Palmer.
Sure. That's fair. I mean, it's fair. I was just saying the Dallas secondary is burnable for Larry Fitzgerald to kind of do his thing. We'll see if he can. We're going to come back. We'll talk about what we're looking for from the Dallas perspective. Obviously, Scott already mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. So we'll talk about the Dallas side of things in a little bit and tie up other loose ends when it comes to week number 3. Stick around. Rural Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. With you here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Monday Night Football tonight, Arizona and Dallas. As Matt has mentioned, it is another road favorite of the Dallas Cowboys heading into the desert for a much, much needed performance by the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see if they can get back on the horse. Scott, you said a second ago you expect a big Ezekiel Elliott game tonight.
Yeah, that kid just has too much pride, I think. You know, after he basically got shut down by Denver last week, I think he's going to come out and tell you I have a big game because I just think I think Arizona's going to be a lot of three and outs. And, you know, the Cowboys are really going to control the clock. people are already asking, "Oh, you're worried about Dez against Patrick Peterson? What are you going to do? You're not going to bench Dez." So, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, if this team is going to control time of possession and have a good running game balancing him, he's going to have a very efficient night. I think the Cowboys come in here and just, you know, pretty much have their way.
See, I'm going to disagree. I think the Cowboys can pull it out and stuff, and Zeke should have his way. But if we've learned anything, this is the Cardinals' first home game of the season.
Yeah.
They're a road dog. I think this is going to be a much more competitive game. J.J. Nelson does need to play to help this team out, but I think it's going to be more competitive than we think. So that's my take.
I think so, too. I want to know who you are, Corey, because, you know, Dow's going to come in here, try to play their game, running the football with Ezekiel Elliott, the short passes here, just try to methodically hold the ball. And that's what they do. That's how they win. How do you think they look tonight, and how do you think they stack up against Arizona?
I think this would be, I don't want to say it'll be easy pickings, but I think they'll get the job done versus Arizona. I think you'll see the more traditional Dallas Cowboy game plan, run the football heavy with Ezekiel Elliott, goal-to-go situations with Dez Bryant, a little bit of Jason Witten mixing, even though the Arizona Cardinals really eliminate tight end from the opposing team's offense. So I don't think this is a situation. I think this game is competitive into the fourth quarter, but I think it's never no doubt the Dallas Cowboys will win.
I think obviously Dallas is the favorite. That's where they are in Vegas. As I mentioned, I expect Larry Fitzgerald to come out. I think he's going to have a better game than we have seen from him. I think he's due for that. We'll see if J.J. Nelson. I think J.J. Nelson should have a good game also. I really do. We'll see.
The problem is, you know, with Nelson hurting, you know, Jerron Brown's there too. But, you know, that defense, you know, even this, you know, you might not, you know, they might be without Nolan Carroll tonight too. You know, but from a schematic perspective, though, you just double team Fitzgerald, and what else is there, really? You know, you might get burned by Jerron Brown once or twice. You don't know how good Nelson is going to be. Chris Johnson's not going to threaten Sean Lee in the running game.
Well, time out here. I mean, J.J. Nelson, like I said, going back to the last seven games, has been pretty damn good, and he's gotten to the end zone. So the thing is, one guy to look at in this game is Jerron Brown. He had 11 targets last week.
Yep.
So, you know, it is going to depend a lot on Carson Palmer. So there's a lot on his shoulder. He did have a 300-yard passing game last week. They are home once again. So I think this is going to be a fun game to watch.
I think so, too. I think that I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Monday Night Football, it's always good to get it on, and obviously the ability to just be able to wrap up the week. How you got anything on the line tonight, Corey?
Oh, yeah. Got GST on the line. I need Dez to come through for me in a GST.
We're 0-3.
Huh?
We're 0-3.
Yeah, I saw that last night.
It just matters about points, really. Unless you can win your division, you just want to keep scoring as many points as possible.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, I got
No, they're not doing a good job at that either.
I need Zeke to score 20 in one league, and another league I'm up by 30. I have nobody going left, and he's got Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I do need Zeke to put like 17 points up.
So. Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Let's look to Kenny in Philly. Good morning, Kenny.
What's up, Kenny?
Kenny!
Yo, what up, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
What's going on?
Hey, man, I'll talk to y'all about my season-long stuff later on in the week, but tonight I need Zeke to go for at least 25, and I can come in second place in this tournament I'm in. I'm just like four lineups ahead of me. They got players. Two of them probably got Witten, and two of them got a flex. I'm hoping neither one of them got Elliott, and I'll be in good standings. So I'm at 178 now. So the first place pride was I'm probably not going to catch the guy 231, but I need at least 25 points from him tonight, which hopefully he should get.
Well, we're going to wish you good luck on that, Kenny.
Yeah, no doubt, Kenny. Good luck on that.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, it's funny. Kenny only just needed like a little good luck charm for us.
No. We like to talk. I like to make sure Kenny's doing good every morning. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I like hearing from Kenny. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. The number to join in and join the program, and we'll see how you're doing here on what Corey likes to call it Overreaction Monday.
Yes, Overreaction Monday. So let's start overreacting.
Do we
have a call?
No.
Oh, okay. I heard you give out.
Oh, yeah. The phone number. People wanted to overreact.
Yeah. If you want to overreact, I'm steady Eddie today. You know what I'm saying? I don't like a couple things I saw I didn't like, but for the most part, nothing really jumped out as okay. an extreme shift since week one.
Yeah, I don't really think so either. To be honest, I don't think an extreme shift.
The one thing I've after 3 weeks only.
Yeah.
The odd weeks have treated me very well, so that
keep it rolling.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully this is an even week, so hopefully I can get that correct.
Well, that's good. I mean, that means you're two and one basically. That because it's been two odd weeks and one even week then. So I don't know.
You're good at math, on my course.
Oh, thank you.
Well, one of
thank
the shifts we certainly did see though was at wide receiver. Like a lot of people worried about Brandon Cooks and T.Y. Hilton, and they got a lot of reassurance this week.
Yeah, it was a big week from those two dudes. And like I know, as I said to you guys before, I'm not buying in on this T.Y. Hilton thing because I think it's gonna be too inconsistent. So I'm not gonna go out of my way to go buy T.Y. Hilton this week. Nor am I going to go out of my way to buy Brandon Marshall.
I would be comfortable starting T.Y. Hilton. No, I'm not comfortable starting Brandon Marshall. I'd be comfortable starting T.Y. Hilton. You saw Jacoby Brissett look to get him involved, and you saw when T.Y. gets the ball, you know what I mean? The touchdown he had was classic T.Y. Hilton.
Are you also comfortable starting Sammy Watkins?
I'm using that young quarterback. You never really know how that game script goes. Next week they have Dallas, so yeah, he'll be in my lineup.
I think that's the interesting question. Of course, I play. Like, yeah. My love.
I think Corey nailed it. Like it depends on who he's facing.
Yeah, who he's facing. Let's see. Does this trend continue? He's just too talented. So if as long as Goff is willing to take shots his way, that's the key thing to me.
And he's going to because that offensive line is a heck of a lot better, and it's going to protect him.
If I'm not mistaken, he may lead the league in catch percentage. Sammy Watkins.
I think you are correct.
He does. That was his Mike Lyon, man.
Oh, that wasn't Mike Lyon. I got it wrong.
He did.
That's crazy.
But that was before week.
Oh yeah, that was before week. Yeah, because no, Mike Lyon was Friday.
Yeah, but he had the stat.
Okay, that's true. True.
That's
yeah.
All. Yeah, I didn't give that. That didn't include week three, but he was 100%.
Are you usurping Mike Flores?
I hope not.
Is Greg Sussman lying?
I hope Flores shows back up to work on Friday. I can't promise.
Wally pipped.
I like, as much as I like hosting the game, I do like playing this game as well. You know, I just give Scott some competition because
Scott's been on a roll.
Culturally biased game.
I've been in rehab for the last.
Oh, do you want? Are you still calling it? Is Matt Winning? That's still a thing for
no.
You?
No,
is Greg Sussman lying?
There you go. Yeah.
I still have dominated over the long run. Let's be accurate.
What have you done for me lately?
The gauntlet has been thrown.
What else really stood out to you here, Matt, from week three? You guys make a biggest takeaway.
I think sometimes, look, however you want to put it, there's guys that you drafted, and look, some aren't going right. And if I have no problem saying where I was wrong, and if you listen to somebody and they never admit they're wrong, stop listening to that person immediately.
Oh, we are constantly doing that in this show.
Yeah, no, but you have to. You're not going to be right 100% of the time. No one is out there. So own up to your mistakes and take credit when it's good. Like, look, Terrell Pryor, major disappointment last night. I stuck with Stephon Diggs all last week, and that paid off. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. You got to have a steady hand. You know, it's only 3 weeks. I know it's only 13 weeks, but, you know, you got to have some belief in the players you drafted.
Yeah, you know, you do. You have to be able to I can't do this, obviously, but, like, that steady hand, even keeled notion, I can't do it. Like I am 0-3 in this league, and I love my team, man. I love it.
Keep riding it out there; it changed.
But it's 0-3.
Don't worry about that.
I mean, I think Tony Sincato was like 0-5 in the GST last year.
Then he picked up like David Johnson. Was that who did he pick up? Somebody good, right? Well, that was Gary Sanchez. He picked up. It's been baseball. Yeah. Scott, what is your biggest takeaway here?
I would probably say that. Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, guys, we hear these reports about that they're hurt and stuff like that, and you know, you may not want to throw them out there, and they end up performing really well. We saw it from DeMarco Murray, we saw it from Jordan Howard. I know there were people even worried about Jordy yesterday, but you know, these guys produced, and you know, these are why these guys are fantasy superstars or fantasy standouts. Because, you know, not only do they produce no matter what the matchup is. I mean, look at Jordan Howard. He was facing the Steelers. And, you know, people were talking about the shoulder. He gutted it out against what we thought was a really, really bad matchup. DeMarco Murray, we thought Derrick Henry was probably going to get the majority of the matchup. We thought it was a bad matchup. Look what he did. So, you know, this is why you draft these guys so high.
Scott's 100% correct there. And we gave Scott a lot of crap for the Jarvis Landry benching the week before.
Sure.
I benched DeMarco Murray yesterday in favor of Henry.
Yeah.
So I can take the
chance. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? The Henry thing? Something didn't feel right about the Henry thing? I benched Henry for Foreman.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
He outscored him.
He did outscore him.
Mm-hmm.
He was close, but he outscored him.
Yeah.
Oh, nice job, Corey.
He's a borderline starter.
Yeah, for
if you can start, I hate to say this, but if you can start James White, you can kind of start Foreman.
I don't agree.
They're
with
throwing
that.
A Foreman out of the backfield.
Listen,
he had two catches.
Yeah, but he makes plays.
Sure,
he had a nice big 27-yard catch.
Don't compare to James White yet, dude. That's not fair.
James White, I like James White. I'm just saying.
Can say a lot about a lot of people.
Wrap up the show. Cut on next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Experts in the morning at rotoexperts.com/DKMS is where you need to go and where you need to find out more information on a very, very important cause, right? rotoexperts.com/DKMS. We are trying to help cure blood cancer. It's a very, very serious disease. We partnered up with the people at DKMS to show you that all you need to do is donate some blood, basically. Donate bone marrow, donate some blood, depending on what procedure works best for you and works best for the person you're donating to. All you do to find out if you're eligible, you swab your cheeks a little bit. It takes 30 seconds to do. You send it in, and then maybe become a match. And if you are interested in saving a life or learning more about that, I strongly, strongly suggest heading on over to rotoexperts.com/DKMS and just reading the information that is out there for you, because it is just well worth it. You know, read the information, because there's a lot of misnomers about it. We've talked about it a lot on the BFFs with some DKMS guests, so I strongly urge you, head on over now to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. At the bottom of the page, there is a daily game that you can participate in. You win any of the first 16 weeks. You qualify for week 17, and you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl by winning week 17. It is really just that simple. There's no fine print. There's nothing about it. It's a free roll each and every week, a daily fantasy game. We had a winner yesterday. We'll have a winner next week, and so on and so forth. Any of the first 16 winners go into week 17. They all qualify for week 17. 15 people, you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Check it out, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. All right, 844-843-6879. We take your calls to wrap up the show, and we go to Taco in Alabama. Good morning, Taco.
What's going on, guys?
What up, Taco?
Got a couple questions.
Sure.
CJ Anderson, is it more – would you be more likely to start CJ Anderson or Jamal Charles headed forward?
CJ Anderson.
Also – okay. Also – is it time to drop Eric Decker after his three games?
Matt?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem dropping him. I mean, if you have the bench space, you can keep him. But he's definitely – he doesn't look like the Eric Decker. I mean, I was off him. I got on him. But I think maybe it's time to get back off him.
Yeah, and as far as CJ Anderson and Charles goes, I think that was a unique timeshare yesterday. I think Anderson's probably still going to be the lead dog going forward.
Look, before yesterday – everybody was super high on CJ Anderson. Keep the faith in CJ. He's going to be their lead back. If he gets hurt, you know, I do think Devontae Booker gets in the mix as well.
I think what you have to remember is, and this is even going to be ring true for Kareem Hunt at some point, not every player is going to perform up to expectations every single week.
Alrighty. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk to Paulie in Eastchester. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, old Paulie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the question. I guess a win is a win. I'll take it this week. And I'm in a 12-man PPR league, and every week I have a debacle over QB. And this week it's Stafford versus Minnesota, or Winston versus the Giants, or do I look to...
Well, yeah, no, it's Monday morning. It's Monday morning.
Yeah, Paul, you won this week. Why
week week three hasn't finished, but the one thing I will say to you is, so you don't have to deal with that decision, I would probably try trading one of them. You know, if you see a team in your league that needs a quarterback, so you don't have to deal with this every week.
Yeah, I can't do this with Paulie. I can't answer that question. It's Monday.
Well, his game is done. He's looking ahead. But
Jake Sealy, what do you do, sir? Jake, what do you do when people ask you questions about Monday?
Oh, no. Jake not going to answer that question.
Corey knows. Hey, Tuesday night at midnight, and you get to check the link. Hey, that's what you can do.
Jake's very testing his own.
Paul, feel free to at Olin Kidd.
Jake's becoming like Matt Harvey. He's unapproachable.
Wow. Yeah. This is what Jake Sealy's become. For more of Jake, listen to the Fantasy Football Frenzy.
I still have talent left.
That comes your way next with Matt Modica and Corey Farson. For the King, Scott Engel. For Wall Street, Matt Modica. And for the Fantasy Executive, my name is Greg Sussman. We're back to do it all again tomorrow morning. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow.